I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Johnson County Board of Supervisors. For the record, we are not connected with our IQM2. We're having some electronic issues, but the meeting will still be recorded. This is Thursday, February 28th, 2019, and this is our formal meeting. And the first order of business is for public comment for items not on the agenda. Is there anyone wishing to address the public about any items not on the agenda? All right, seeing none, we will move on then to item C, which is recognition. And this is a celebration of the success of Solarize Johnson County Residential Solar Group Purchasing Program. And I have here just some remarks. And the program was something that offered discounted residential solar to area residents. Johnson County staff, along with our community partners, organized and hosted 22 solar power hours. Those are also known as educational sessions. There were 671 participants at those power hours, and those happened from April to July of 2018. If you went to any of those, you would have seen a pretty good crowd. I attended two of them. And the second one I attended had to be moved from its original venue because there were so many people there. We're proud to say that Solarize Johnson County was one of the most successful group buys nationally, with 1.15 megawatts of solar added to 180 homes. Thank you to our partners throughout the county who helped to make this a success. And it also, before we hear from our sustainability coordinator, Becky, and some of our friends from Moxie, I just wanted to say, I got this letter, we all did, today, and it says, I want to thank you all for the work and support you gave to Solarize Johnson County. Please continue your efforts in giving opportunities like this for ordinary citizens to have alternative energy. I am unable to attend the meeting today on the February 28th, 2019, to show my support for this item on your agenda. Many people have wanted to get into this program but did not get into the timeline. Please offer this program again or another alternative energy program. Thank you for all you do to help save us and our resources, Charlene Lang. So you have one at least who would like to see this again. And now Becky and anyone else?
Thank you very much to the board. I'm Becky Soglin, Sustainability Coordinator for the county. We really appreciate your support of this project. And we just want to recognize some of our folks. But before I do that, to put the amount that we achieved in perspective, so Midwest Renewable Energy Association has been doing these solar programs throughout the Midwest since 2013. They've done a total of 22 programs and achieved a total of 7 megawatts of solar. So we got 1/7 of their total. And I put this map down here in order not to block everybody's view of each other, but it shows by township and by city how many arrays were installed in each area. So afterward, please feel free to come up to take a look at that. So, of course, we like to recognize one of our Midwest Renewable Energy Association, Peter Murphy, who just did stellar work all over the phone and by email to get us going on this. And our Power Hour speaker, Tom Weisler. Tom, do you want to wave? So, he did great. And then our internal departments, I'll just mention them all at first. We have Public Health, Mara Chini, and Jason Decker. I'm not sure Jason's here, but Mara can give a wave. And in conservation, we had Brad Friedhoff from our board office, Kelly Andresen, and then our office, Planning, Development, Sustainability, support of our director, Josh Broussard, and also our inspectors, did a great job because they had a lot more work to do. I think David, Neil, Brett are all there in the back. Thank you guys. Our external partners, I think I'll just, for the sake of consolidated applause, I'll just read all our external partners and then we'll do a round of applause for them. But just please wave when I say your name. We have, from Coralville, we had Amy Foster in the back there. Iowa City, Brenda Nations, but Iowa City's mayor, Jim Throgmorton's here. Thanks, Jim. North Liberty, Angie McConville. From Shuleyville, we had Brent Foss and Lauren Foss, who might not have been able to make it. Solon, Cammie Rasmussen. And from West Branch, Roger Laughlin and Nick Shin have helped out. So we appreciate that. And in addition to that, we want to recognize that Lone Tree Hills and Swishers helped us get some space to hold power hours. To all those communities, thanks to their inspection staff. And certainly last but not least, 180 households participated in this program. Do we have a few of the homeowners here or household folks? So thank you to for participating. And certainly, very last but not least, we have Moxie Solar, and Chris is here to say some words. And we really thank them for a big, big project and getting that done. I'll turn that over to Chris. So.
Thanks, Becky.
Good morning to you all and to everybody here in attendance. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending some time to acknowledge not us, but this community in what we achieved for bringing solar energy to Johnson County. For those of you that don't know me, for good or bad, I was the face of Moxie Solar this summer. My name is Chris Hoffman. I've been with Moxie Solar for about 5 years now. And while we all have this opportunity to celebrate the successes, I wanted to take a few moments to introduce who really pulled this off this summer, and that's this team behind me. As you have seen over the next few minutes, you'll understand a little bit about our passion for solar and how it helped us to install 180 solar projects in Johnson County as part of this. But instead of just calling them by name, raising their hand, and standing up, I wanted to introduce them to you in a unique way. I wanted you to imagine being a customer going through this process with us this summer. So I'm going to introduce them to you in the order in which they were received, to borrow a phrase like that. So before I do, though, I wanted to thank Becky and Kelly specifically from Johnson County for their work and commitment to this Solarize program this summer. Those two, along with Tom and Peter Murphy with MREA, were on a weekly progress report calls with me in supporting this endeavor. And without their help from the very beginning, we wouldn't be here today achieving or celebrating these successes. So if I may, please let me introduce to you our Moxie Solar family. Most of you know Jason Hall. You can wave if you'd like to, Jason. Jason is the CEO and founder of Moxie Solar. Jason brought this company to life literally from his dining room table in 2008. Without Jason's passion and dream for starting Moxie Solar, none of us that are here with him today would be able to fulfill our dreams of solar as well. So thanks, Jason, for that. Someone that's not here, none of you probably ever met him, but every person that interacted with Solarize Johnson County administratively would have talked to Phil Foreman. He, in my opinion, was our administrative hero. Phil responded to over 800 requests for site assessments and scheduled a few hundred meetings for our sales staff to be out meeting homeowners. He also maintained the database for reporting back to the host organization, in this case was MREA. He is a retired banker and sports facility administrator, so I know that he thoroughly loved being a part of this project. Once Phil confirmed that someone wanted to have a site assessment and wanted us to come out there, he worked with me and other members of our sales team to get them on our schedules so we could do most of that. We had most all of our meetings at kitchen tables or backyards or front yards, depending upon where the solar was going to go. And our role really was to help educate them on what solar was, first of all, how it was going to help them, their neighbors, and their environment. Once that project was green-lighted by those customers, they then met with Matt or Jeremy. And Matt, if you could raise your hand, maybe stand up for a second. Matt is with us here today. He and a team of two others, Jeremy specifically in the beginning, would go and measure every single roof or the ground space, take pictures of electrical equipment, and start to design this solar array. Then that would be turned over to our engineer. Not to embarrass Matt a little bit more, but he's also probably the newest father in the room here, so in just the past few weeks. Matt, thank you for what you've done. After Matt and his team completed the measurements, the work was then handed off to our design engineer, Lejeune Varghese. Right there. Thank you, Lejeune. Lejeune's been with us for about 9 months or so right now, last summer. Fortunately, he was here, but it was trial by fire when we brought him into the company. He already came to us with a lot of solar experience. Fortunately, with him and two other members of his team, they designed every solar project. They procured all of the material for those projects. They applied for every building and electrical permit for those projects as well. So thank you, Lejeune. Once the array was designed, the master of Moxie Solar took over. She knows who she is in this audience. Jen Hall, right here in the front, is literally the glue that holds this company together, or duct tape or chicken wire, however you want to look at it. We pride ourselves on five-star reviews as a company. It's a terminology that you hear out there. I tell Jen that she is responsible for at least four of every five stars that would come our way, and this is why. She, along with two other members of our team, would submit technical paperwork for every solar project to the utility company. It's called an interconnection application. It's a highly technical piece of paper. She and her team did that for every project. They would then confirm proof of insurance for the property owner, email a welcome packet, and provide step-by-step updated progress reports along the way on that project. Again, for every single one of these projects. The four major utility companies in our area here all know her by voice. She's on the phone with them multiple times throughout the day, so you can imagine how many times she was on the phone with them this past summer. At the end of a typical solar project, whether we have solarized Johnson County or not, it's fair to say she's probably emailed or been on the phone with all of our customers, every single customer, at least 5 to 10 times. So she has so much to do with our success this year. So Jen, I can't thank you enough for what you've done, but thank you. Once Jen and Moxie Solar have been given approval by the utility companies to proceed with their construction, our project manager, Travis Eichelberger, would take over. Travis isn't here today. He can't be here along with all of our construction crews. But Travis was responsible for scheduling all of these installations, as well as our electricians to be there. His personal contact, he personally contacted each homeowner in the process. Again, 180 phone calls. Can we come out here on this day? Let's work on this. And he also scheduled all of the inspections for the jurisdictions, permitting all along the way, as well as with the utility company. So he was very busy this past summer as well. We were, as a company, able to field 4 to 5 construction crews just for solarized Johnson County. Travis was responsible for them. Each crew was led by a foreman with solar experience, along with 2 to 4 additional support staff crew members on there. None of those could be here this morning, but those folks do deserve special recognition because they are out there rain or shine, cold or not, and they do that day in and day out because of their dedication to solar. Alongside of our construction crews, we also take electricians out because the utility companies don't want you just plugging something in to their grid. It has to be permitted, so you have to have folks licensed to do such things. So we have a team of electricians, and I didn't know until about an hour ago that one of them would be here. Corbin is right there. Corbin is one of about 4 electricians that we had working on this program. If you were lucky enough to have interacted with Corbin in this summer, it was quite an educational experience, I would assume. We're very proud and lucky to have electricians on staff, and it's one of the reasons, it's one of the many things that differentiates us from any other solar company. Again, without any of them, we couldn't have done what we did this summer as well. I'm almost done, I promise. Once the solar project is constructed and connected, Matt, again, as part of his team, along with the gentleman sitting next to him, Dale, would come out and turn that solar array on. Again, this isn't about flipping a switch and you're good to go and you walk away. Dale spends a lot of time face-to-face with our customers, getting them to show how the array is working through the inverter, but he also sets it up so they can see it on their computer or on their smartphone. And if any of you have that technology and know that Tom has it, you get to be kind of an energy nerd about stuff. How much energy are you using? How much are you making? So Dale assists us in doing that. Did you raise your hand already, Dale? Okay, thank you. Thank you. So that's a really important kind of achieving moment for a homeowner. And finally, our accounting and human resources team then would make sure that all of our invoicing was completed and all of our payment to our vendors was completed. Our chief operating officer, Leah Furnish, is right here today. Her and her staff were responsible for doing those things. So she and her team worked to do a lot of work that we never know goes on behind the scenes. I just had breakfast with her this morning, and we're talking about the things that we're doing. I am like, really? You have to do those things? And she says, how do you think it gets done? I'm like, well, that's typical. So I had put these remarks together last night, but what I said in my remarks, that she ensures that we are a viable entity, and without her leadership and attention, this doesn't happen either. So thank you, Leah. All right, finally, I promise, I'm almost done. believe it or not, our customers get one more email than from Jen. That's why four or five of our stars is because of her. This email is to let them know that she, on behalf of Moxie Solar, has applied for their state of Iowa tax credit. Again, it's a technical application. It's a lot of time and energy, stuff that we all know, and that's why Jen does it for each of our customers. That's kind of the project from start to finish, and thank you for bearing with me here this morning. So you've met a few. They represent nearly three dozen members of our team that helped to install 180 solar projects in Johnson County. That was that three dozen folks. We have a staff of over 70 folks in Iowa and Illinois, and we're proud to have been a part of this very historic solar project. On behalf of all of our team, I sincerely thank you for this opportunity to work for you and for the residents of Johnson County. And as Jen always says in her emails, as she's signing off, sunny regards.
Thank you for those remarks, Chris. Anyone else from Moxie care to add something? Jason?
Yeah, just real quick, I'm Jason Hall from Moxie Solar. Know most of you guys. Thank you very much for putting this on. First, obviously, Chris left himself out of the accolades, but he was the hub of the entire project. So of those, how many? 800? 800 people. He was the one that was, once Phil was setting up the appointments, Chris was one that was, more often than not, almost exclusively the person on site educating all 800 citizens of Johnson County and the cities. So, I mean, Chris, great job. I mean, you were the hub of the whole thing. So, if everybody could. Just real quick, to put it in perspective, the end of the enrollment period, I believe, was August 31st. Do I have that right?
Yes.
So that means September, October, November. That's roughly 120 days, and we had 180 projects. So that's 120 total days with Saturdays and Sundays, and I believe Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's Eve and that kind of thing. So it was a gigantic effort to be able to get 180 jobs in more like, let's say it was probably 90 viable days. So we were averaging two a day, and I'm certain the inspectors are aware of how much of a burden that was to get that. So appreciate your help on that as well. But it was a gigantic effort. So thank you, everybody, for your help.
Great. Thank you.
I was just going to say somebody else I wanted to recognize that really helped push this through is Mike Carberry, who was sitting up here at the time. but Mike's always been a champion for solar and really helped us get this going here. And, of course, the folks in Linn County did this first, so we just copied what they did. They've got a great group in Linn County, and so thanks to them for getting the ball rolling.
It was truly, as you can see, a lot of cooperation among many, many partners doing this, and a lot of work I know that I saw being done here with our staff. And then, you know, I didn't get to see you all doing it, but I know that so much went into this, and I appreciate all that you've done. Anyone else from the audience like to come up?
Good morning. Mike Carberry, private citizen. I really want to thank Josh and Becky from our Planning, Development, Sustainability Department. A couple years ago, I was driving to Des Moines to do some lobbying, and NPR came across and started talking about Solarize program in Cedar Rapids and Linn County. And I said, oh, now I remember that program. I had been to a solar conference up at Kirkwood Hotel. So I called Jason Hall 7:30 in the morning, and I said, what are we, chopped liver? You're a Johnson County firm, and you're doing this with Linn County. Why not us? And he said, well, they just jumped on board first. I said, how do we do it? He gave me the people to call. I called them, sat down with Josh and Becky. They're understaffed, as we all know, and they said, we don't have time for this. There's no bandwidth. And I said, well, we'll find you some help, but we need to do this. So thank you, Josh, for allowing Becky to work on this project. And thanks, Kelly, for doing a lot of the work too. So I really just want to thank the people here that made it happen. Then, of course, the entire Moxie team and everybody that participated. It was, you know, many hands make for light work, but this wasn't light work, but it took a lot of hands. So just thank it. I'd like to personally thank everybody for doing this. And I'd like to see it done again, because there's a lot of people, as the tax credits are starting to expire, we need to take advantage of them as we can. And right now, at the State House, net metering is under attack. There's a bill that was addressed, dropped last week, that wants to take away net metering. And when you take away net metering, then you don't get 10 cents or 15 cents for electricity that you produce, that's the overage. You only get 2 to 3 cents. That's going to take a project like three times as long to pay off. And that's going to put solar out of the range for most average Iowans. So if you can, I encourage everybody to contact their legislator, state legislature, and tell them to kill the net metering bill. Thank you to the board. Thank you for all the staff. Thanks for everybody. This has been such a wonderful project. Let's do it again. Thanks.
Anyone else? Well, we thank you all again for all of the efforts that went into this to make it a success. And I think that now we are the ones to copy instead of Linn County. So that makes me very proud. Thanks again for your work and for coming in this morning on a cold winter morning. We appreciate it. One final round of applause for everyone. We will move on then to general business. First item under that are claims.
Move approval.
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Sullivan, second by Porter. Comments? Roll call.
Reddick.
Aye.
Hyden.
Aye.
Green-Douglas.
Aye.
Porter.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
5-0. And minutes of the February 21st, 2019 formal meeting.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved by Hyden, seconded by Porter. Discussion? Roll call.
Hyden?
Aye.
Green-Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Reddick?
Aye.
All right. Passes 5-0. And payroll authorizations.
Move.
Second.
It's been moved by Sullivan, seconded by Hyden. Discussion? Roll call.
Green-Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Reddick?
Aye.
Hyden?
Aye.
Okay, that passes 5-0. Moving on to business from the county auditor, licenses and permits.
Yes, I have a new application for a Class C native wine. This is for the Walker Homestead and was submitted by Bob and Christy Walker. And all of you were in order.
Okay. We're having some electronic issues.
Oh, maybe Lisa.
Can I hear from Josh before we?
Yeah, before we do this, okay. Could we hear from Josh?
Sure.
Because this is kind of a unique application.
Right. So Josh Broussard, PDS director. Walker Homestead, they began the process to receive a conditional use permit and construct a building for a winery, which are they're conditionally permitted in the agricultural zoning district. They have that conditional use permit secured. The board should know that there are several conditions that they need to comply with in order to maintain that conditional use permit, everything dealing from what can be served for food with that wine, to the number of parking spots, to their hours, to the number of people who can be on site at any one given time. And that is the power that the Board of Adjustment has, supplemental conditions that they can impose on any conditionally permitted use in order to protect property values, the public's health, safety, and welfare. I feel, in my opinion, that everything is in order. They have received a certificate of occupancy for the building. They did not build it agriculturally exempt. They have that conditional use permit, as I said, in place for the winery. And I am comfortable. I signed off on the form that the auditor provides for this winery permit. And I guess I just want to make it known that they need to comply with all the conditions. And if their conditional use permit is ever revoked by the Board of Adjustment, it's my opinion, and Ryan, chime in here, that this winery permit, that your approval might be off the table. So I don't know if there's anything you can do to conditionally permit it a condition on your approval that they maintain that conditional use permit. So questions, please.
Were they not operating last summer?
So they were operating last summer, but they were operating as special events. The winery wasn't operating, but they had people, events at their farm. Yes, they did have a permit.
And selling alcohol?
I do not believe they were selling alcohol.
Well, alcohol was sold with the meals.
This is information that I was not aware of. I'll be honest, I have had lots of back and forth with the folks at Walker.
I think it was like a BYOB kind of thing, was my understanding.
Okay.
But I haven't made it very
clear. I just know that there was alcohol at the event.
I haven't made it very clear what the expectations of their conditional use permit are.
And Josh, the state gives us a definition of a native winery, right?
Yes, and there's also a definition in our ordinance of what a winery is. I think it mirrors that.
And I can tell you, the permit allows commercial establishments to sell Iowa native wine for on-premises consumption, and also to allow carry-out sales of native wine in original unopened containers. So that is what this permit allows.
Okay. Thank you for that. And thanks, Josh.
Okay.
Anything else you want to let us know about?
One more question. The conditional use permit doesn't allow a restaurant.
That is very correct.
It allows
restaurants. Say again.
Limited food sales, or
yes. So the conditional use permit does not allow for a restaurant. Restaurants are only permitted in our commercial and light industrial zoning districts. The Board of Adjustment saw fit to allow them to serve small plates of food with food that's primarily raised or produced on their farm, and it needs to be in conjunction with the wine that's being served.
So, Ryan, if at any time that applicant was out of compliance with the conditional use permit, we could revoke the liquor permit?
Well, the liquor permit is issued by the Alcohol Beverage Division of the state, I think it's the Department of Commerce. So it's a state liquor license that our jurisdiction at the level of the Board of Supervisors essentially has a recommending authority for. So the votes that you take on in the ordinary course on liquor license applications and permits go to the administrator of the Alcoholic Beverages Division and they make the ultimate decision, and it would be theirs to revoke. I think if information came to our attention that the holder of that permit was not complying with a conditional use permit that governed their uses, we should forward that information to the Alcoholic Beverages Division for them to take action, but I don't believe that we can unilaterally just revoke the permit since we're not the issuing authority for the permit.
Okay. Thank you. And
that's what I believe. This is the first I'd heard of this concern or issue, and so I can look into it. Certainly, if it does come to pass, I would expect to be looking into it and advise the board further on that question.
Thank you, Ryan.
Well, I would move approval of the application for a Class C native wine license for Walker Homestead.
Second.
It's been moved by Sullivan, seconded by Porter. Discussion? Roll call.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Reddick?
Aye.
Hayden?
Aye.
Green Douglas?
Aye. Any other reports from the auditor's office? Moving on to office and department business, Board of Supervisors office, item A1A, resolution ordering the vacation and closure of a certain road segment and alleys in the unincorporated village of Morse, Iowa, being a subset of those described in proposed road vacation 02-2019. These are in our packet. We're unable to show them up on the screens right now due to electronic issues. As this is a draft form still, as I read it, I know the parts more as the 1, 2, 3. So we've got they are identified in this.
Sure. So I believe what's in your packet includes descriptions of the segments as they were advertised for the public hearing. And that's at the beginning of that resolution. And so segment one, the first property, which is an alley that's described in the resolution, at the end of that little description, there should be a reference saying that it's segment one, and then segment two and segment three. And that does correspond with the application the request that was submitted to the board that so segment one is that alley, and I guess I can just pull it up here.
And it dismisses item three, as we discussed in the meeting.
Right.
So it's one and two, and it's only that portion of two to the northeast of the eastern boundary of that road.
There's an alley in block 13. And that alley in block 13 goes essentially northwest to southeast. And if you were to extend the northeast right-of-way line of that alley across 4th Street, that's the beginning of the segment that then runs to the northeast from there, that's provided in here as being vacated.
It was confusing at first as I read this and saw that three was in there, but the mention of three was to exclude it.
Right, and if you'll recall from our discussion last time, that we still need to take action to dismiss it since it was advertised.
Right. All right, so I entertain a motion.
I move approval of resolution ordering the vacation and closure of a certain road segment and alleys in the unincorporated village of Morse.
Second.
It's been moved by Hayden, seconded by Sullivan. Discussion? Roll call.
Aye.
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 Green
Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
All right. And that is approved 4-1 with Reddick in the negative. All right. Moving on. Item B. Approve revised job description for the position of lead developer in information technology.
Move approval.
Second.
Been moved by Sullivan, seconded by Porter. Discussion?
I'm going to oppose this. It's returning it to management, and I believe the county is management heavy, and this is reversing previous progress we've made on this issue.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Reddick?
Nay.
Hayden?
Aye.
Green Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
And that's approved, 4-1 with Redding in the negative. And then item C, approved job description for the position of planner in the Planning Development and Sustainability Department.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved by Sullivan, seconded by Porter. Discussion? Roll call.
Hayden?
Aye.
Green-Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Redding?
Aye.
All right, and that has been approved, 5-0. And then, I'm sorry, I'm looking from my paper, and my paper is the draft. So. And then, so we have three different. No, we don't. Okay, I'm confused because I do not have my paper form here. Are there three separate things here? Or we're done with the planning?
We're done with that. No,
because I saw two different things here, but I think, okay. Item D, approved 28E agreement with the City of Coralville for mobility coordinator.
Move approval.
Second.
Who's that? It was moved by Hayden.
No,
Redding, seconded by Porter. Discussion? Roll call.
Green-Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Redding?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, and that has been approved, 5-0. Item E, approved DCAT contract DCAT 4-18-258, third amendment to the Coordination of Professional Development contract.
Move approval.
Second.
That's been moved by Sullivan, seconded by Porter. Discussion? Roll call.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Redding?
Aye.
Hayden?
Aye.
Green-Douglas?
Aye. And that has been approved, 5-0. Moving on to item F, appointments to the Compensation Commission.
For the Compensation Commission, the press release advertising period is January 19, 2019. We had previously advertised for 90 days, then an additional 30 days, then an additional 30 days. Two vacancies exist for licensed real estate salespersons or brokers for one-year terms, beginning immediately and expiring December 31, 2019. The total members of this board, including the open seats, would be 28. Current gender balance, not including the open seats, is 5 female and 21 male members. Persons to consider for reappointment is none. The new applicants, there were two that were fit the criteria. So the board consensus is to appoint Jerome Edwards and Jacqueline Million to a one-year term beginning immediately and expiring December 31, 2019.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved by Redding, seconded by Hayden. Discussion? Roll call.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Redding?
Aye.
Hayden?
Aye.
Green-Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
All right, and those two appointments are approved. Appointment to the... Planning and Zoning. They're in opposite order on my paper.
The press release advertising period is January 18th through February 19, 2019. One vacancy exists for a partial or unexpired term, which begins immediately and expires December 31, 2022. Total members on this board, including the OMC, are 5. Iowa code requires the majority of the P&Z commission reside within the county but outside the corporate limits of any city within the county, unincorporated. So they must live in unincorporated Johnson County for the majority. Current residential balance, not including the open seats, is 0 reside in the city corporate limits and 4 reside outside of city corporate limits. Current gender balance, not including the open seats, is 2 female and 2 male members. Persons to consider for reappointment is none. There is a total of 6 new applicants, all very well qualified. Board consensus is to appoint David Parsons to a partial or unexpired term beginning immediately and expiring December 31, 2022.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved by Hayden, seconded by Porter. Discussion? Roll call.
Redding?
Aye.
Hayden?
Aye.
Green-Douglas?
Aye.
Porter?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
All right, and Dave Parsons is appointed, 5-0. Anything else? All right, seeing nothing, we are adjourned.